a little bit different type title, maybe a little different type message. As we begin to think about all the process of time and the many different ways that the Lord helps us, He gives us protection, as we have noted even today as we thought about the problems of last weekend in our southern part of our country and almost identical same things this weekend, and how that the Lord does things for us that we do not even really realize. We don't see it. The Lord doesn't put up a sign and said, "Here, I've helped you." But we can look around and know that God's help is around us everywhere. And there's a lot of activity that takes place in the heavens for you and I. Now, there's been a struggle in the heavens from the very beginning of time, and we're going to read some of those verses concerning that struggle. It's not just between evil and good, it's between God and Satan. Sometimes we talk about the struggle between righteousness and unrighteousness, but it's really a struggle between not just good and evil, but it's a struggle between God and the devil. And the Scripture gives us many insights into the things that are beyond our vision. We have a vision that God has given us. We have an eyesight that we can look before us and see things that are happening around us. But I believe the Scripture points out a number of times that there are things that are going on out there that we do not see. There are things that are taking place and activities before us that we have no idea, we have no understanding, and do not even realize that it's taking place. And much of that is that struggle between God and the devil. And I do know that the devil and God struggles for the souls of mankind. And we are to preach the gospel and thank God for His grace, whereby people can come and know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. But there has been this war that has gone on. There has been a battle of the ages from the very beginning of time. And I don't go any farther back than when time began, when God said, when God said in the beginning, and then let there be light, and He began the 6 days of creation. I don't go back to a pre-Adamic race or a pre-Adamic time. I believe the Bible gives us everything that is given, tells us that in 6 days God created everything that was created. And so everything that we read about and everything that we study in the Scripture has to be in the confines of the beginning of time. And I know God has been before time ever began. I know God has always been, and He's eternal, but He doesn't tell us much about the activities before in the beginning God created. And so tonight I want us to think about this war, or this struggle that we do not see. We see the results of it. We see the activities. We see the end results of that war that is taking place. And so I want us to read a few verses tonight. I've got a number of verses just to sort of give us an idea about these activities that are taking place that we do not notice and we do not see. Some happened before we were ever into existence, and some of them are taking place even now, and some will take place yet in the future. And so there are activities in the heavens that we need to be aware of. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 28, and verse number 15, we'll begin our reading there. We'll turn to the book of Isaiah and then to Joshua and Job and 2 Kings, and you don't have to try to find all those. But we'll be reading some portions of Scripture in these different places to show to us and give to us the idea of what has happened and the activities that are taking place that we are that is far beyond the vision of human eye. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." We understand this is the verse of Scripture that tells us that God is dealing with Lucifer. He's dealing with Satan. And He says, "In the day that thou wast created, you was perfect in all your ways until iniquity was found in thee." Verse 16, "By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled in the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by a multitude of thy iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now, in these verses here in the book of Ezekiel, God gives the death blow to the devil, to Lucifer. He says, you were perfect until iniquity was found. And then he tells about all his profane work and how that he's gone out to destroy those things. Tells us a little bit about Lucifer. The scripture says that he was very prideful, and because of his beauty. And so if God would say he's beautiful and God would talk about his beauty, then certainly Lucifer in the very beginning of his creation, and he was that cherub, or he was that angel that sort of covered. He was the one that maybe protected the throne of God, and he was uplifted with pride because of the place that God had given him. And God says, I'll bring thee to ashes upon the earth in sight of all that behold thee, and they that among the people shall be astonished at thee. Now turn over to the book of Isaiah chapter 14. We've read these verses many times, but it's good to call back to our memory these things about Lucifer, or the devil, Satan, whatever terminology we want to put on him. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 gives us the identity. It says, Thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. So here we find God is speaking to Lucifer. He's talking to the devil. And he says, Thou art fallen from heaven. And Ezekiel tells us where we read about that fall. He says, How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. Now, you'll notice these next words, these next verses. God accuses Satan and tells him the very problem. And it's a problem of pride. Now, these things took place beyond the eyesight of mankind. This conversation between Lucifer and the Lord took place where no one else could see that, or no one else could hear it, but God has given it to us in the book of Isaiah. And God says, Because thou hast said in thy heart, verse 13, Isaiah 14, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Here's the accusation that God says to Lucifer. He said, You said too many times, I will. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to put myself, and I'm going to be like the Most High. Now, verse 15 says, Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I think verse 16, 17, and 18 are very interesting verses. It catches my attention every time I read them. Here we have the description in Ezekiel and Isaiah about the power of the devil, or the power of Lucifer. We not only see his power, we see his pride, and then we see his destruction. But you'll notice now in verse 16, here's some things that's said about him. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake nations, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Is this the one? I believe when Lucifer is finally cast down into the bottomless pit, as we find in the book of Revelation, I believe when the nations look upon him, and the Bible says they will narrowly look upon him. The indication is here, it's sort of like looking through the lattice work. You're sort of hid behind everything, and you're just barely seeing that. And when we see Lucifer brought down to his conclusion, when we see him brought down low by the power of God, then those nations that have followed after him, they're going to ask the question, Is this the man? Is this the one? Is he the one that has brought terrible things to this earth? And is this the one that did shake the kingdoms? Is this the one that made the world as a wilderness and destroy the cities thereof? Is this really him? When you find the description that God gives about Lucifer, the son of the morning, he has a highly exalted place. pride is found in him, and God brings him down low. And when it's all said and done, the world is going to look at the one whom they followed and said, did I really follow that character? Did I really follow the devil? Did I really follow Lucifer in that way? And these things are all taking place. And these words were said one day. We didn't hear it and we didn't see it. But God gives us the Word of God to give to us. And the Bible says here, and all the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, every one of his own house. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 7, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Here Satan is the deceiver of the whole world. He is cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And it came to pass. And you go on and read, and you'll find that as the devil is cast out of heaven, all the world follows and has been deceived by this one. And there's a lot of activities in the heavens and in the glory that we have never experienced and we have never seen. But they certainly have taken place. And I dare say there are more activities yet in the future. In the book of Joshua, chapter 5, there's an account given that Joshua is in battle, and he is there by Jericho, verse number 13. And it says, he lifted up his eyes, and behold, and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now here's a heavenly being. Here's an activity that's taking place. And this man says, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto my servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Here is a captain of the host of the army of Israel, which I believe was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joshua looks at him and he's ready for battle and he says, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And the captain here says, no, I've come and I'm going to give deliverance to you. These are some activities that's taken place from heavenly beings. Job chapter 1, verse number 6, and chapter 2, verse number 1. You find there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Here's some activities of the heavens. The sons of God presenting themselves. Now, I don't understand all the terminology here. Now, I do know that as they presented themselves to God, there came along Satan with them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, almost identical words. When the sons of God came before the God of heaven, there came along with them Satan. And the Lord says, where have you been? From whence comest thou? And Satan said, I'm going to and fro, up and down the earth. And the New Testament tells us that what he is doing is that he is seeking whom he may devour. And so we find these scriptures that tell us that there's a lot of things go on that we never see. Now, Job wasn't aware of what had taken place until the messengers came to him. And Job, as he was there at his place, and there's messengers came and told him that his animals had been destroyed, this had happened, and something else had happened. And then the messenger came and said, all your children's been killed. And all that's because Lucifer, Satan, came and presented himself with the sons of God. And he says, God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? And he said, I give you permission to go and bring havoc to his life. Now, Job didn't know that conversation went on. And sometimes there are things that take place in the heavens that we're not aware of. But I'm glad, thank God, he's still in control, whatever happens. whatever takes place, the Lord's still in control. I think of another place that's found in 2 Kings chapter 6. There was a battle raging one day, and Elisha was there, and it says the chariots and the great hosts, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." There was an angelic heavenly host there gathered, and the Bible says Elisha prayed unto the Lord, "I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I'll tell you what, God's in control of everything that takes place. And there are things that happen, there are difficulties that arise, but you be assured and you be aware and you be sure in your personal life that nothing has ever come that God hadn't already known all about and has not given us the ability whereby to have victory. So there's a lot of activities that go on in the heavenlies. There's a lot of things that have happened in the Bible. We've read a few of them. But to know the devil's still busy. He's still there and he's still very active. The devil's a real person. He works and he walks, I believe, still to and fro. It's sort of the indication given there in the reading of that he's like a wandering person walking to and fro. Has no real desire for stability. He's just wandering to and fro. And as I said a while ago, the New Testament tells us that he's like a roaring lion, that he seeks who he can devour and who he can persuade and can fall. He is our enemy. And by the way, we are no match for him. We can do battle with the devil only through the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our own strength, we're not able to battle. We're not able to win. We're really not able to do a whole lot against him because he's a powerful, wicked enemy. He's a foe of the people of God. And we as Christians, we must know that his actions, that they're still there. We must understand that and be aware that he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. That he is that one that goes out and he will do everything to destroy and tear down the work of the Lord. So there's still activities in the heavens about righteous and unrighteousness. There's still things that take place, and it may be something that happens in your life that has been because of some activities of things that we've never heard and cannot see. You see, the Bible tells us that the devil is out to defame the brethren by accusation. You read back there in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 6, where we noticed a while ago, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, he didn't come there for any good. He didn't come there to present himself as a son of God, as a person of the Lord. But he came there to bring accusation. He came there to bring questions about Job. You read the first couple of chapters of Job, you'll find the devil says, why Job only serves you just because you're blessing him. That's the only reason Job serves you, God, is because you've blessed him and you've honored him and you've made the increase of his hands and you've done everything for him. That's the only reason he serves you. And so the Lord proved him wrong. And he let Job be put in the hands of the accuser of the brethren. You know, one day that accuser is going to be gone. He's going to be taken care of. He's going to be defeated. And he is that one that accuses us. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down." Thank God there's a day coming when he's going to be cast down. He's not going to bother us anymore. He's not going to be that one that is on our trail. And the Bible says he's a accuser of the brethren, accuse them before God day and night. Continually the accusations go on. He does everything in his power to accuse us against this thing of Christianity. He lies in his accusations and he's always trying to find a listening ear, and he's always active to destroy and to defame the child of God. There's still activity out there. May we never be lulled to sleep to think the devil's a pretty good character and he's not bothering us anymore. If he doesn't bother you, then there's something wrong with you. Because he bothers the child of God that stands for the Lord. He bothers people that live for Jesus Christ. We belong to the Lord, and so therefore activities pick up. I've heard people say, well, after I got saved, things just fell apart. Well, guess what? You changed kingdoms, and the king of the kingdom of darkness, and the king of ungodliness, and the king of this world, the god of this world, he began to fight against you because now you've changed kingdoms. So he defames the brethren. He distresses people that are outside of the will of God. He divides the brethren. Division comes, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, I, brethren, cannot speak to you as unto spiritual, but unto to carnal. Even as to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk, not with meat. For hereunto you are not able to bear it, neither are you now yet able, for you are yet carnal. You see, the child of God can become a carnal Christian. Now there's the natural man, and then there's the spiritual man. And the spiritual man can never go back to be totally the natural man, but he certainly can take up carnality. He can take up the traits of carnality and carnal lives. And so the devil, he's always there to distress us, and he'll divide us. The Bible tells us that the devil is a liar and he's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. He's the father of deception. And so he bothers and he divides the child of God. Sometimes he laughs at how much we follow him. Sometimes the activities that go on that sometimes we never notice, but yet he sets the snare and he sets the trap. He puts things in our way that he knows will bother us. There is that sin that does so easily beset us, and the devil will put a snare or a trap there in front of us, and when we falter and fail, he sits back and laughs at us. And then he goes to the Father and say, did you see your son there? Did you see your child there? See what he's doing? He's accusing you. He's breaking back, bringing to the Lord of heaven railing accusations against the child of God. He distorts the character of God. He twists out of proper proportions and misshapes. That's what distort is. There are those that give a false, misleading account or a misrepresentation. That's exactly what the devil does to the Lord and to his people. Always putting a question mark. Hath God said? Did God really say that? And if He said it, did He really mean it? You see, that's some of the things that go on in our thought processes, in our heart, and the devil puts those things before us. The Bible tells us that he deceives the nations of this world. Revelation chapter 20, verse 3, verse 7, verse 8, tell us that he is the deceiver of the nations of the world. But one day he's going to be cast in the bottomless pit. He's going to be shut up and a seal is going to be put upon him. And the Bible says to go out and deceive the nations, and he'll deceive them again and again. So there's a lot of activity that goes on. There's a lot of things that happen. And it's the activities that many times is a railing activity or an accusation against the child of God, because we believe in the Lord and we have Him in our heart and we have been snatched out of His kingdom and we've been placed in the kingdom of the dear Son of God, and no longer can He ever grab us and hold us and bring us down to defeat. No longer will He ever take us to hell, but He can sure bother us. He can sure bring problems to our life. That's what He's doing now. He devalues the gospel, makes it of none effect if he can. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. His job, his activity is to devalue and delude and to tear down and destroy the effectiveness of the Word of God. A lot of activities in the heavens. A lot of it has fallen to the earth. But it originates with the wicked one. It originates with Satan. And by the way, Satan is not omnipresent. Sometimes we give him more credit than credit's due. Satan cannot be everywhere at the same time. Only God has that attribute. God is here and God is there and God is over there and God is here and God's back there. God's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent. But the devil is not. He can only be one place at a time, but he has a lot of co-workers, has a lot of emissaries, has a lot of false prophets and false teachers, and the activity is given and the accusations go on, and he works with his workers. You see, for everything God has made and everything God has done, Satan has counterfeited that. He has made his own gospel, which the Bible says is another gospel, which is not another. The Bible talks about the people of God and talks about the people of the wicked. God has a kingdom, the devil has a kingdom. God has is a trinity, and in the New Testament, in Revelation, the evil trinity is given to us, and so he counterfeits everything to try to tear down. He's always active, always busy. Because one day he said, I will be like God. You know, I believe the devil is still, as many defeats as he has had, I believe he still has in his mind and in his thoughts and in his heart that one day I'll overthrow God. I believe when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, I believe he thought, I've done it now. The only problem was 3 days, 3 nights later, the Lord was victorious over all those things. Praise the Lord. The devil still is active. He is trying his best to fulfill what the Lord God of heaven accused him of there in those verses that are read in Isaiah chapter 14. You've said in your heart, I'll be like God. My throne will ascend to the heights of the heaven. I'll be more than God. I'll be higher than God. That's his desire. That's what the devil does. Well, I'm glad I don't have to stop on a negative part. I'm glad we have a captain of our salvation. He's active also. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are things, and our Bible tells us that Jesus has done many things. He has he was active in the creation. He was active in all the things of the Old Testament. Had many appearances in the Old Testament as a pre-incarnate Christ that has showed up and manifest himself. And there's many, many places, and we read about tonight when the man there was the host of Israel. Are you for us or are you against us? And I'm for you. And he said, and the Bible says that Joshua bowed and worshipped him. And so God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is also active in the heavens. We read of many things in the Bible that he has done. We read of many things in the Bible that he will do, but I'm glad, thank God, there's some things he's doing right now. He's busy right now as busy as the devil. He is busy to counteract and to do away and to help the child of God, his children, in every way that the devil tries to tear us down. He's serving as our intercessor. He's our go-between. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 24, but this man, because he hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. I'm glad, thank God, he is able to save anyone that comes to him to the uttermost. That means as far as you can go, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth, ever liveth to make intercession. What is intercession? Intercession is that activity that goes in regard to help someone else. And my Bible tells me that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and the Scripture says he is our intercessor. There's some activities that go on around the throne of God that we do not hear, and we do not know, and we do not have any awareness of how Jesus Christ pleads our case before his Father. The devil comes along and accuses us. But Jesus stands and says, yes, Father, but they trust me. They belong to me. I believe that as much as I believe I'm standing right here tonight and you're looking at me and I'm looking at you. I believe Jesus pleads our case. He's our intercessor. And these are activities that we don't know about. When we falter and fail and we give occasion for the devil to bring accusation against us. Well, I'm glad my Heavenly Father, I'm glad my Savior, I'm glad my Lord is there to plead my case. I'm glad he says, yes, I know, Father, they've fallen and they've sinned, but they trust me. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He is our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our go-between. He's the one that helps us. And brother, in doing that, he silences the accuser. He silences that old accuser of the brethren called the devil and Satan and Lucifer. You see, we hear the word Lucifer, we think, boy, that's a terrible name. That's a hideous name. But you know, in the very beginning, Lucifer was a beautiful name. It's because of his activity that has made that name of not effect and has made that name such a railing, terrible name. Sometimes what we do will make our name no longer desirable. You ever heard anybody name their child in America Benedict Arnold? No. The name there is identified with traitor. So who wants to name their child Benedict Arnold? And so Lucifer, in the beginning, he was son of the morning. He was the cherub. He was that angel that covered. May have even been an archangel. Equal with Michael and Gabriel. Had his position, had his place, but iniquity was found in his heart. And now that name Lucifer is a term that we despise and we hate. And of all the terrible things. And brother, I'm glad Jesus Christ can silence him. He can take care of him. I read verse 10 of Revelation chapter 12 a while ago. Let's read it again. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. You see, I was talking a while ago about the accuser of the brethren. That's the next. Is cast down, which accuses him before God day and night. But here, the first part of the verse, we find that Jesus Christ is the one that cast him down. He's the one that silences him. He is the one that has the power of God. He is God in the flesh. Thank God tonight our Lord can handle the devil. The struggles have come about and the problems have arisen. Now you rest assured, every once in a while the devil may win a victory, and every once in a while he may have his say and may have his day. But I tell you what, his days are numbered. For one day, we know the story, the scripture says he's cast in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. The smoke of his torment ascends up forever and forever. One day he will be silenced. The Lord Jesus Christ silences him when he points to the blood upon the altar. The book of Hebrews tells us that there's an altar in heaven. Scripture says that there's an altar that, like the things that are pictured in the tabernacle. It's just the tabernacle is a picture of what's in the glories. When Jesus shed His blood, the Scripture tells us, by typology, when the lamb was killed on the Day of Atonement, the blood was caught in a basin, and the high priest would make sure his garments were pure and clean and white, make sure he was right. And he took that blood of in that basin and carried it back to the Holy of Holies there in the tabernacle. And there he'd take that blood of that innocent lamb and he'd sprinkle the blood upon the altar. All of that was in picture. All of that was in type. For one day, the antitype would come, which was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And when Jesus died, I believe he ascended to heaven. I believe his blood is applied on the altar there in glory. And brother, that can quiet, that can silence our accuser, because His blood pardons and His blood perfects. We are saved by the blood of the crucified one. He has given us and secures to us access of heaven. I know that one day the Scripture tells me that when I close my eyes in death, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's only done because of the activity in heaven. That's only acquired to the believer. It is given to us because one day Jesus opened up the way. Because the Scriptures say He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And so He secures to us access into the very heavens. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The way is still open by the power of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:18 says, now there is remission of these is There is no more offering for sin. I'm glad there has to be no more. There cannot be, never will be any more offering for sin. For Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. No more offering. He has handled that. He's taken care of it. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, in that holy place and the Holy of Holies, the only person that could go in that behind the veil was the high priest. He is the only one that went in there once a year and sprinkled that blood on the altar. Now, the Scripture tells us when Jesus died, He opened up a way. You know how He did that? The Bible says that that curtain or that veil was rent in the temple. It was about the thickness of the hand of a man with his thumb stuck out. And so that veil, that curtain was thick. And when Jesus died, that veil was rent, was torn asunder, opening up an access whereby we could go into the very throne of God. That had never happened before. You know why we can do that? Because He is our high priest. He is the one that opened up the way. And then the Bible tells me that I am a priest as a believer. Therefore, I have access that's been secured to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is supervising everything that takes place. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which began a work, or a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He that began a good work will perform it. That means the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but that He is faithful, and that He'll help us. And when God begins a work on an individual's heart, when God begins to open that heart and that mind, I don't understand salvation. I don't understand all the ins and outs of it. But I do know one thing, according to the Word of God, salvation is of God. It is not of man. We don't just decide to be a Christian. We do not just decide to be a believer. It only comes because God has begun to massage our heart and begin to open our thoughts and open our minds and give us illumination to the things of the Word of God. And He that began a good work, He will perform it. He can perform it to the very end. And one day we'll be presented. He supervises all the transactions and I don't even know what's going on. That's the activities of the heavens. That takes place beyond my eyesight. Those conversations take place beyond my hearing. But the Bible has opened up just enough that we know things are happening in the glories. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do His good pleasure. To work out what God has put in our life, to send it forth, to spread. That verse there is not telling us to work for our salvation, but it says to work it out. What God has put within us, what Jesus has given to us, then we're to put it out and we're to work it to other people might see Christ living in our heart. When we got saved, there was a transformation that took place. And I didn't even realize it. I was a young boy when I got saved. I didn't realize all the ramifications of being saved. I didn't know what justification meant. I didn't know what adoption was. I didn't have all those things in my mind. And I was too young to understand. But I did know one thing, that Jesus died for me. And if I rejected Him, I could die and go to hell without Him. And so therefore, I called upon His name. But there were some transactions that took place that happened in the glory. And I didn't hear it and I didn't see it. But it has transformed my life. It has made a difference in my life and my soul and made a difference in my eternity. Day by day, we are being transformed. And sometimes we don't even realize it. God works in our heart. God brings situations in our pathway. And He's working and transforming us. The Bible calls it growing in the grace of God. Just growing up, maturing. One day we will be transformed and we'll be translated to the very presence. I don't know when that's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. I don't understand how it's going to take place. Just like I don't. When it comes down to spiritual things, you know what? We don't understand a whole lot. Who in here tonight can tell me a good explanation of how God saved you? I've preached it for years and I can't explain it. I just know it took place. Who in here tonight can explain to us the great doctrines of the Scripture? How can we explain the virgin birth? That's unexplainable. How can we explain the Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three yet one? How do you understand that? How do you explain it? You can't. How am I going to understand? How can I tell somebody one day when Jesus comes, one day I'm going to hear the sound of the trumpet and I'm going to disappear? Well, explain that to me, preacher. How's that going to happen? I don't know. I just know it's going to happen. I believe the book. You see, we live more by faith than we really know we do. If we can't explain it and we believe it, it has to be by faith. One day we'll be transformed into a perfect person. Just, the Bible says, just like Jesus. Explain that to me. I don't know. But I do know some things have happened in the glories to make all these things happen in my life, personally. So, out there where we're beyond our eyesight, beyond our ear of hearing, sometimes almost even beyond our faith, God has done things to make things happen in our life that one day He'll present me faultless before His Son. I don't understand it, but I sure enjoy it. I believe it. I accept it. So tonight, as we think about heavenly activities or activities in the heavens, some of them haven't been too heavenly. War in heaven. Struggle between God and Satan. It happened. It's out there. It's historical past. It's there. It's given to us in Scripture. Things are happening that we don't understand. We don't know. I wonder how much would come our way if God would remove His protection from us for an hour. I wouldn't want to live that hour. Let's bring it down to 30 minutes. If God just removed all His influence, all His protection, removed everything from us and said, "All right, world, all right, Satan, he's yours." It'd be a long 30 minutes. What about 15 minutes of it? Would you want that? Oh, we could sit here in silence for 15 minutes. That's a long time. You can sit here for 30 seconds, silence, and it'll seem like an eternity. How would you like for the protection of God to be removed? 30 seconds, let's count it right now. Only 10 seconds. I wonder what could be accomplished in 15 seconds. 20 seconds. 25. Count them down. 4, 3, 2, 30 seconds over. I wonder what the devil could bring havoc to our life in just 30 seconds of time if it wasn't for the activities of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ in the heavens. Praise be the Lord. He does not remove that from us. May God help us to realize the importance of what takes place beyond our eyesight, beyond our ear catching it. But may we appreciate the blessings of the Lord that we're not aware of. Today we eat our meals that we wanted, thought nothing about it. We are probably one of the few countries in the world that can take place. We go to the water fountain, we get a drink. We go to the light switch, we turn it on. We go to the car, we drive off. Those are all blessings that we do not even, that we're not even aware of how God has blessed us. The water could go away and the lights can go off and the car can die and all those things can happen. And I'm glad the Lord loves us and cares for us. And He watches over His own. The Lord is my shepherd. And He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, to help us, to instruct us, and to give us one day the glory. Let's stand together tonight.